This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
With Isaac and Sue.
It's going to work. It's passable, okay? This isn't terrible.
The best in local, regional, and national sports.
With no hidden agenda.
Primetime with Isaac and Sue on 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome back. Hope you're having a nice little Thursday. Isaac here, Suk right over there. I did look it up. It was Mark McGwire's 62nd home run.
That was the laser down left field line, and it was against the Cubs, because remember, him and Sosa were hugging. And
that's right.
It's like the feel-good moment of baseball until, you know.
Yeah, well, so he passed at that time. He passed Maris. He was the home run king.
62.
With that home run. Here is Dan Lanning, Oregon coach, prompt for his weekly visit here on The Fan. Coach, how are you?
I'm doing good. I'm thinking back to sixth grade. I think it was sixth grade, maybe seventh grade, to Mark McGwire, Sammy Sosa battle.
Mm-hmm.
Like doing it out. I remember that was always fun to watch.
It was awesome. Yeah. Do you have any favorite home run memories, or like if I asked you what is the biggest home run you remember, what would you say?
I'm not a strong enough baseball fan. I mean, I'm a Royals fan.
Yes, you are. So am I.
But, yeah. So I mean, Bob Hamlin, you guys don't remember that?
Yes!
Probably,
Rookie of the year,
we remember
Bob Hamlin.
There's a lot of Royals talk on this show, Coach.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm trying to think of some great Royals home runs in history, and there's not a ton to lean on.
No, there's not.
Well, we've been doing this for
Go ahead.
I was going to say, we've been doing this for like 20 years, and Rop is from Salina, Kansas, and so for all these years we've been doing this, the Royals have been so bad. And so, like, we just kind of have collectively adopted the Royals. And it was fun when they actually got good and went to the World Series.
That's right. They'll be back. Give them time.
That's right. That home run, that Alex Gordon home run in extra innings against the Mets in World Series.
Yeah, I remember that.
That was big. Well, I wonder if you – so you spent a little time at Arizona State. You've been out west a little bit. Did you get a trip to Pullman? Mm-hmm. Have you been up there? How familiar are you with that trip?
I have. We played there once while I was at Arizona State. I mean, awesome atmosphere, passionate fans. Certainly a different place. It's a different place for sure. So,
is there something interesting about, like, kind of those little college towns? You know, it's not the biggest stadiums. You know, Corvallis has some of this. I mean – down in the SEC, like, everyone has like these monstrosity stadiums, but is there something to going to an off the beaten place with a small but rabid fan base that, I don't know, just maybe a little different challenge than going into one of the big barns?
No, absolutely. I think the football game is obviously what makes it fun, but it's almost like a Field of Dreams where you get to show up somewhere and they roll the ball out, and then all of a sudden there's all these fans that kind of come out of nowhere and make the experience really special.
Well, you guys looked fantastic. And can I say, like, I understand you having to beat my boys at BYU, but did you have to take them behind the woodshed? I mean, that was domination, both sides of the ball. Were even you surprised by just how, I mean, you bullied them for four quarters. Were you surprised maybe about how, I'm not going to say easy, but how effective you guys were up front?
No, I mean, I think, again, when you see stuff show up in practice, you hope that you get to see the same things in the game. And we felt we had confidence going in, and I was, you know, glad to see our guys go execute. I wish we would have finished a little bit better at the end of the game. But no, overall, I wasn't shocked with our guys' performance. We have good players and a good coaching staff, so was not a shock for us.
Well, that BYU team was ranked in the top 15, but you had such an edge up front. I just wonder how often can you tell just off of film going into a game where the advantages are, and how often can that be a miscalculation?
It goes both ways. You know, there's certainly times where you feel like you might have a competitive advantage and it shows up on film and then it shows up in a game. And then there's times where you think you do and you realize, hey, maybe you don't. So I would say more often than not, we can usually judge what we see off of film and get a good idea where things are at. But it doesn't mean it's the end all be all. You still got to go out there and play the game.
Yeah, I was talking to one of my friends who's a coach down there after the game, and I was just asking him, and he goes, boy, he goes, I knew they were good. I didn't think they were that good. So I think that was on the other side. I think that may have been a surprise of how much difference. I just tell you on the other side of things, that was one where I think on film there was maybe a miscalculation.
Well, I think things went right for us, and you know, things didn't go right for them in that game. You talk about, like, fourth downs for us. We're 3-for-3 on fourth down. They're 0-for-4 on fourth down. So, like, one thing goes one way or another way any point in that game, I think it can be a different game. That's a really good team. And, you know, things worked out right for us in that game. We were able to execute at a high level. But I don't think that's a knock on what BYU is capable of or what they can accomplish. You know, it's just that's the way it played out on Saturday.
This is Oregon coach Dan Lanning with us here on The Fan. So on the flip side of that, I often wonder, too, you know, you're down on the sideline now. How often does the film after a game tell a different story than what's in your head from what you saw on the sideline?
Well, the coaching mantra is, you know, it's never as good or never as bad as it looks on film. You know, and I think that's general, or excuse me, as you think it is in the game. And then you go back and see the film, and it's usually either worse or better or vice versa. But I would say that's usually holds pretty true for me. There's always something you miss that you didn't see in the game. There's always something that you might have felt really good about, and you go back and say, hey, maybe that wasn't as much of a strength as we thought. But I'd say that's generally the case for me.
When you're jotting notes over there during the game, what kind of things are you jotting down?
It depends on the situation. You know, if it's a certain look that we see, hey, you got to be alert for this next time it pops back up. You know, a lot of play callers in college football and just in football in general are repeat play callers. So if you see something and you're able to make an adjustment to it, you're probably going to see it again, and it's going to give you an opportunity to get things right. Also, just for me, like, communication is so important within a game, and if people are just yelling on a headset and communicating anything on a headset in the middle of a series, a lot of times that information gets lost after the series is over. So I like to jot down notes during a series just so I can make sure, hey, in between the series, we can hit this when we get back on our side of the ball or vice versa.
Right. So how chaotic is it on the headset?
Not as crazy as you think. Not as crazy. There's not a lot of room for chaos. There's moments. There's certainly moments, but not as crazy as you think.
So
nobody's telling jokes or anything either.
Oh, no? You know. Come on.
What about
no jokes. It's just communication of the situation. You know, what's the personnel group? What's the call? What hash are we on? What's the down and distance? Keep it moving.
Yeah. What about during shout? Because that's the second time you've been there. I'm guessing that one was slightly different. Do you give yourself at least a little moment? Do you shout at least once during the break?
I don't think I shouted. No, I mean, I certainly enjoyed the moment, much like our players did. But no, I don't. No, we still got a game to play.
Yeah, you can't break.
Is it, you mentioned, like, it's, you know, you wish you would have finished a little better. Is it hard in that, with that great environment? It's a big opponent, highly ranked. You know, you're kicking their tails a little bit. Is it hard sometimes to keep everyone focused for that fourth quarter when things are going so well and the environment? Is that a teaching lesson you can learn off of that you kind of let them back in the game just a little bit?
Yeah, we certainly can learn from that. I mean, there's an expectation that we continue to grow regardless of the situation, and we probably let a moment get away from us there on Saturday that we could do a better job of, in my opinion.
Now, I know the offense is still kind of coming around. It's a lot of new components, but you look at, you know, whether it's Eastern Washington or this, you guys can do both, but I looked at that dominant power run game, 44 to 20 passes. Bo was surgical, only threw it 18 times. Is there an identity? Is this, as this offense evolves, is this going to be more of a power run first sort of thing? Or are you ideally, do you like more balance on that? Where do you think this offense is heading? Because it certainly looked great in week three.
Well, for us, it's we'll do what it takes to win the game. And, you know, Tony Dungy came and spoke to our team before the season started, and you talked about, hey, you know, if you go back and do it all over again, what would you be willing to sacrifice for your team to be successful and win? And he told us a story about Edrin James. Obviously, he's an elite back. But there was a game plan that they had that, hey, if we get these looks, we're going to be passing the ball. And for the first 22 plays of the game, they passed the ball, even with a back like Edrin James. And I think that's, you know, a little bit, hopefully, something we can lean on for us. You know, there's going to be games where we can go out there and we can throw it based on what we're getting from a defense, and there'll be games we go out there and we can run it. But there are moments in games that you want to be able to establish an identity. And I felt like this past week, you know, fourth downs, a couple of those big personnel groupings that we were able to use, were moments for us to do that.
Well, and Bo was so good with his legs, and, you know, he took a lot of criticism after week one. He's looked phenomenal the last two. Just how comfortable is he getting in this offense? Because he has looked phenomenal these last two starts, and I think it's put to rest any, you know, whispers about whether or not he's the guy.
He has a clear expectation for what we're trying to accomplish. He's, you know, he's really in sync with Kenny and our whole offensive staff and our team right now. And, you know, we've never wavered in our confidence with him. You see what he does in practice each day, and it shows up out there on the field.
And are we starting to get closer to kind of a pecking order at the running back, or is this still going to be by committee? And then the health of Cardwell, who was a scratch against BYU.
Yeah, if you're good enough to help us play winning football, you're going to be part of that, you know, part of that rotation and be able to help us. And I think that'll continue to be the case. And, you know, obviously we're a stronger team when we have Byron out there able to help us, and we want him to be out there and able to help us. I know he wants to be out there and able to help us, but we're going to also think about the health of our players too.
Back to Bo real quick. How have you been able to, because I know after week one you said, you know, the key with him is just getting to play within the system and not jeopardize the ball. How have you been able to do that? Or is that more on just him and his decision-making?
I mean, it's a collective effort, but it's certainly a big collective effort on Bo. You know, after every game, him and I, we sit there and talk about, okay, ball in jeopardy plays. Like, did we put – because there's sometimes you'll walk away from a game and, hey, there was no interceptions, there was no – but was there a point in time where we put the ball in jeopardy? Mm-hmm. And Bo's done a really good job the last couple of weeks of limiting those ball in jeopardy plays. You know, I think this last week we felt like there was one – you know, moment that we probably wanted to have back. The week before, there was a couple. Even though it necessarily wasn't turned over, that's what you look for. And he's done a really good job of assessing that. And, you know, obviously he's dynamic as a runner as well, so he can make you pay with his feet if there's nothing there.
Take a look at Washington State, 3-0, big road win against Wisconsin, tough environment. What do you see from the Cougs on film? I know it's not a very big defense, but it's an active defense.
Yeah, just what you said. I think Coach Dicker does a great job. They mix up a lot of different looks, provide a variety of pressures. They can create negative plays with the way they get off and the way they attack. So they're tough. You know, they're really tough on third down. And if you can keep them in third down and manageable, you know, five or less, you'll feel a lot better about the game than you do when it starts to get to third and seven plus. They start to really throw some exotic looks at you.
Did you know you're going viral for so you were on the coach's show last night. What did he say?
Yeah, eggs, breakfast,
eggs,
whoop
breakfast
ass.
And whoop ass. Did you know that's going viral?
No, I didn't. I mean, yes and no. I was told about it earlier today. Yeah. I didn't realize it was a big deal in the moment, but I guess to catch wind of it today, I did.
Yeah, they're selling T-shirts, Coach.
Yeah.
It's a whole thing. It's showing up at Autzen. Get
they,
ready.
They like
Sean
it.
Sean Dollars was joking with me today at practice, so I figured something must have happened.
Now, you're going with the white unis. Now, you seem like a type of guy, based on eggs, breakfast, and whip ass, I feel like you don't care about this, but I think fans do. How does the uniform picking process work?
I'm not really involved in that process. Yeah. I just give a thumbs up. Our group does a really good job with that. And if you get your equipment issued by Kenny Farr, then you can wear it at a game, and that's kind of how we go.
Gotcha. All right. Well, Dan Lanning, Oregon coach, joins us here in Portland every Thursday at 4. Good luck against Washington State up there in Pullman, Coach. Thank you. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. Appreciate you guys. Have a great one.
All right. Bye-bye. How many of you now feel really old? Because Dan Lanning was 6 when McGuire and Sosa were...
He's 36 years old.
Bringing baseball back?
Yeah, you feel terrible about your life when you look back and you realize, like we're both in our 40s and this is what we're doing.
I would have mentioned the Kirk Gibson thing to him, but yeah, what? Might as well have been in 1904.
Yeah, we were 3 when that happened.
Yeah.
Like we're riding around in those old-timey bicycles with the giant tires at this point.
Even Joe Carter were like 7.
Yeah, it's...
All right. Well, hey.
Hey, Royals fan.
Wait, yes, I love that. I knew he was, but, you know, we're kind of easing into a good relationship here. I feel pretty good about it.
Progress being made.
And that's some good common ground we can discuss.
We build on the Royals.
But really, it's all about breakfast and whipping ass.
eggs, breakfast, whoop ass.
Yeah, I love that. All right, Dan Lanning joins us every Thursday at 4 o'clock right here on The Fan. Coming up next, do we get into Ime Udonka?
Yeah, I mean,
do we get into that?
You kind of have to. It's the dominant story today.
Yeah, despite, it is the big
despite
story.
Despite what Stephen A. Smith is going to yell about.
Well, if you haven't seen, Ime Udonka is in some hot, very hot water. And he may be done in Boston.
Well, and more details are coming out. I mean, it was so vague, but now we're starting to get an idea what happened.
So we'll get to that when we return on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, well, the big story out there today in sports is Ime Udoka, the coach of the Celtics.
Yeah.
Who did a great job as coach of the Celtics.
A rookie first-year coach and took him to the brink of a championship, just couldn't get over Golden State. And unfortunately, a lot of great men go down this way, and I don't know if this is going to be
the end. Is he really great?
Well, I mean,
throwing it around like this? I mean, that's a great question. Like,
I don't.
Look, he's.
I don't judge based on this.
You don't?
No, I don't.
See, I will. Ime Udoka, by all accounts, is a great guy.
Yes, and that's what I was saying.
Everybody that knows him, you know, thinks he's fantastic and a really smart and interesting and thoughtful guy. But when you throw it around like this at work, you know, and you've been with a woman for 20 years, like.
By the way,
are you really great?
Nina Long, like an all timer.
Yeah.
By the way, her DMs today.
All right. So here, let's tell you what's going on.
Yeah.
Okay. So Nina Long is a hot.
Yes. A famous hot.
Yeah. She was in Boys in the Hood, like
she was in everything. Friday.
She and Ime Udoka have been engaged since 2015. They've been together a lot longer. They have a 10-year-old together. Yep. They've been engaged, just like everybody today. When the story hit, you had to go be internet sleuth.
Sure.
And I found out just through one story somewhere, she said basically they'd never gotten married. They just don't feel the need to have a ceremony, and they live happily ever after. Well, not so fast.
Yeah, I tried that one too. Most people don't buy that. So good for him for pulling that off for this long.
Yeah, so they've been engaged for like 7 years, but never married. Now reports are they are split because of this. Ime Udoka was having consensual relationships with more than one woman in the front office of the Boston Celtics.
Yeah.
Or that worked for the team.
Worked for the team. So the sad part about this is you had this weird, vague message that came out from Woj last night.
Oh, wait. Sorry. Yeah. Woj was saying that he's facing a year suspension because it's in the bylaws of the Celtics. When he signed his contract, he can't do that.
Well, and it wasn't even that he had an affair. It just said that originally he was being suspended possibly for up to an entire year for violation of team policies. And everyone was like, well, what the hell does that mean? It was the vaguest thing of all time.
It didn't take long for it to come
out. No, it didn't take long for it to come out. And now, you know, you're getting this huge backlash. We're getting I love the whataboutism, you know, because Stephen A. Smith went on this morning and basically said if he was white, this wouldn't be happening and that they should have never released this. Mm. As if Ime Udoka not showing up at training camp, everyone would have been like, where's Ime Udoka? And they would have been like, don't ask. And everyone would have been fine. But because he's black, it comes out. It's ridiculous. Or saying that this is somehow tied to race. That I hate that crap. That's absolute BS. You have a head coach, a championship head coach, the Eastern Conference champ, and he's potentially gone for a year. People are going to ask what happened. So now here we are. And basically the accepted story that is out there, and a lot of people are asking, why does sleeping with someone lead to a year-long suspension? Well, here apparently is the lowdown. That seems to be the consensus story is that he was having relationships with not one but two married Celtics employees. One of them was married to one of the Celtics VPs. So obviously when those affairs got uncovered, that did not sit well within the organization. And first off, they do have it in the bylaws there. You're not supposed to have relations with a subordinate. And so already they're like, hey, not a good thing. So the Celtics find out about it and they tell Ime Udoka, knock it off, right? End it quietly and, you know, just be done with it. And apparently he didn't end either one. He continued with them at that point when it was discovered, here we are, and Boston takes the step of suspending him. And I haven't seen so far, I haven't seen the suspension.
No, it hasn't happened yet.
There's just a rumor that it could be up to an entire year.
Yeah, and now the talk is that he is considering stepping down.
Yes.
And I would imagine he gets snatched up instantly, right, if he quits?
Look, I would imagine if he quits, I don't know if he takes some time off to try to deal with his personal life, try to get things in order.
This upcoming season, but I think a year off and then he's back.
100%.
Right?
I think I heard on Danny and Dusty when they were talking about it that if the Celtics want him to resign, because if he resigns, he can't coach this year. He would have to sit out a year. Yeah, I think that's like league policy.
Yeah.
But yes, Ime Udoka, this will not ruin Ime Udoka's career. It may ruin his marriage or relationship. It may affect that. Maybe it people ask the question, hey, can you really be trusted inside an organization? It's one thing to have an affair, which, you know, God, I shudder to think how many players and coaches and executives are stooping subordinates around the league, right? Welcome to the world of professional sports. When I was in the NFL, the big one was don't sleep with the cheerleaders, and I can assure you that people slept with cheerleaders, right? Like, these things happen, but when they happen to people that are married to high ups in your organization, that gets real awkward and that causes tension. And so when they come to you and say, hey man, knock it off, that should be the end of it. And so the only thing I could say that may cause some trepidation amongst people is, really, dude, were you that horny that you knew
he's a horny coach,
and when someone,
he's the horniest coach in the league,
when someone warns you, man, hey dude, your job could be on the line here,
besides Terry Stotts,
and you still can't keep it in your pants.
Did you hear the rumors about Terry Stotts being a horn dog? I'm just kidding. I'm totally kidding. Nobody take that and run with it. Just stop. That was a joke. I was just joking.
So
Ime Udoka is clearly the horniest guy in the league.
So when,
I mean, coach,
that has your judgment has to get called
into
question.
Some of the players are laughing at this. Like two.
DK Metcalf's like, I got three at one time. What are you talking about?
There's 30 cities in the NBA.
It's not the affair. It's the fact that it happened inside the organization and they told him, knock it off. And he chose not to do it.
They can always find another coach. I mean, he was good, but whatever. I feel bad for Nia Long.
Hey,
she
Nia
needs to rest her weary head on my shoulder.
Yeah, it's like, what do you think about ex-offensive lineman, you know, up in Portland?
Well, anyway.
It's an ugly story, and unfortunately it's very scandalous, and so people are going to pick it up and they're going to run with it. And
oh, yeah.
The other one, too, is I felt bad because once the story leaked that, you know, that it was an inappropriate relationship, well, of course, everyone immediately goes, starts and pulls up the Celtics directory.
Oh, yeah.
And there was one gal.
There was only one.
There was one gal that got all the heat.
Yeah.
For this. And
because she was the only one on there.
And it turns out that she had nothing to do with it.
Well, it's like, so people go to the Celtics directory.
Yeah.
And they have photos of the, you know, like if you're important enough, they'll give you a photo on there. Right?
Yes.
Otherwise, they'll just list you.
Yeah.
Well, of the people that were that had photos on there, there was only one woman.
And she just
So everybody took that to social media and be like, well, here it is.
And it's not.
And it wasn't. I mean, somebody in the organization could be anybody.
Yes.
Could be an usher.
Well, one of them has been, and I'm not going to, one of them basically has been.
You think he'd stoop an usher?
Maybe a little lowbrow.
You know, hot usher? You ever seen a hot usher?
No.
I haven't either.
No, the ones at the Blazers are like 1,000 years old.
Yeah.
It's that one lady that works the elevator. She's in a wheelchair. She's super nice.
Maybe used to be hot.
But one of them has basically been outed now on the on the web, and you can do your own digging. But
is it the VP's wife?
No.
Nah.
No. No,
well,
no.
That one should be easy to figure out if she's married to the VP of the team or a VP in the team.
Well, I think that's the thing.
Everybody in Boston knows.
Yeah,
everybody in the Celtics knows.
People know. One of them got outed, and the other one, for the most part, look, one deleted, like a day ago, deleted every social media account known to man. Because they knew this was...
That's not a telltale sign.
They knew this one was coming, and then the other
Aaron
one...
Aaron Judge just walked.
Yeah.
First
now we're going to boo.
Yeah.
Every time that someone doesn't give him a meatball, the Yankee fan
Michael Walker
boos.
Okay. Well.
Anyway, Ime Udoka is a hell of a coach. I don't know if this cost him his job, but I hope he figures this out. That dude, a couple affairs are not worth your NBA career. But it is amazing how many guys end up screwing up over this exact thing. This takes down more men than anything else.
He's clearly not a great man.
Well, but I
shame.
I can't say that.
Shame and scorn. I can't say that. This is all I know about him.
He may be a great
other dude. Than he's from Portland.
He had a very good reputation, and this one hurts a little bit.
I don't think you can be great and step out on your lady like this. I don't think you can do that. I think that's BS. Ime Udonka, that's what we're going to call him now. Or, oh, no, Udonka.
Oh, no, Udonka. Oh, well, yes, he did.
He sure did.
So we'll wait see what the suspension comes or if he eventually steps down. I don't know. How much pressure will for him to step down? I couldn't tell you. A lot of this will be, I'm sure they're just putting it out there and they're going to see what. Teams do this all the time. You know, they float these stories out there and then it's like, we'll just wait and see what the reaction is.
Yeah, smart.
They don't want to get rid of him.
Smart. All right. In the news is coming up next. Is traffic back to normal? We'll tell you.
I hope not.
Normal, pre-pandy.
Yeah.
Normal. That's what I'm saying there. But first, Patrick with SportsCenter. A couple of texts on the Ime Udoka situation. Every married man whose wife works at the Blazers taking a sigh of relief that they did not hire Ime Udoka. Boy, isn't that true?
Taking cheap shots.
That's not a cheap shot. That's a fact.
Everybody would take Ime Udoka.
Right. He'd be throwing it around on one center court.
That wouldn't be the first time.
No, it wouldn't.
No cheeks, anybody?
She and Jody Allen probably get along swimmingly.
Someone says, I can't read that one.
Why not?
Let's just say that
a
certain something remains undefeated, as I said.
If there's
one man that climbs a mountain and is like, I've achieved the pinnacle of my profession, nothing can take me down, there's always one thing that can take you down, and it remains undefeated. And you can take a guess what that is.
Here's a guy who says, as a formerly married man whose ex-wife cheated on him with someone other, with some other your spouse.
What?
Some other POS from the state of Missouri.
Yeah. I don't know. I can't read that.
It's all jumbled
up. It came in like five different
multiple texts.
He's just saying, stepping out with another married person, you are a world-class POS. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah,
they're married.
Well, technically,
and one of them was, and one of them wasn't.
No, they were both married. The report that most of the stuff I'm reading now, there seems to be one consensus story, and yes, they were both married. One of them was married to a high up VP in the Celtics organization, and when that one got discovered, that's when it was
but
like
Ime not married,
not married.
Aha.
He's just with someone for a long, long time.
A deal says, thank God the Blazers didn't hire the adulterer and got the rapist.
Wow.
It is September 22nd, 2022. It's time for In the News. I'm your noted newsman. Hello. Thank you. Thank you very much. It is National Ice Cream Cone Day.
Oh, I love a good ice cream cone.
Yeah.
Absolutely love it.
You know, I usually don't get the cone. I usually just get a cup.
Well, I'll go with this one. Soft serve, 100% cone. If it's the hard scoops, then it goes into the cup.
Yeah, baby. Soft serve.
Why is that?
The soft serve is made for the cone. It melts. It sits in the cone perfectly. It's easy to lick around the edges. But when you get the hard scoops, unless it's like a good consistency, the cone can break. It can fall off. The hard scoops aren't meant for a cone. Now, if you get a waffle cone where it sits in there and the cone surrounds it, maybe. But a regular cone or a sugar cone with the hard scoops, get right out of here. You need the cup.
I get what you're saying there.
But you get yourself a good twisty cone, the chocolate vanilla twisty cone, that's about as good a delightful treat as you're ever going to find.
It is also National States and Capitals Day, according to TravelTrivia.com. Would you care to guess the state capitals people most commonly get wrong?
State capitals people most commonly get wrong? I don't know.
California?
No.
I'm going to say like Rhode Island, because who the hell knows Rhode Island's capital?
Providence?
What is Rhode Island's capital?
Providence.
Is it, or are you just taking a guess?
It is.
Oh, well, there you go.
Number one, Springfield, Illinois.
People think Chicago?
Yeah.
Well, I was having this conversation not too long ago with my kids, and like most of the capitals are not major cities.
Number two, Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. Again. And that one, everybody thinks Philly.
Sure. Either that or you still have Pittsburgh.
Yeah, but Philly was like the U.S. capital at one point.
Yeah.
So Olympia, Washington is third on the list.
Yeah. Again,
everybody thinks Seattle.
I think Seattle.
And then Jefferson City, Missouri. most common, in other words, the ones people get the most, correct, Boston, Indianapolis, and Salt Lake City. And they said that's mainly because those are just the three biggest cities in the States.
Yeah. I would assume, again, most people just on a knee-jerk reaction go with the biggest city, and it's usually not the case.
I'm not sure how they track this, but ODOT is saying that traffic is almost back to where it was pre-pandy.
Son of a gun.
And I don't know if you've noticed, but it does feel like that out there. It's wild out there.
Look, I've said it many times. I'm not trying to downplay the pandemic in any shape or form. It's terrible. Like a million people lost their lives. I try to look on the bright side of stuff. And let me tell you, traffic and parking were effing amazing for 2 years.
Yeah, especially for like a couple months.
Incredible.
Because you and I were out. We were working.
Yes.
Doing yeoman's work.
It was the best. Although I'll tell you what. It's,
for the people.
It gets a little spooky because I don't know about you, man. I developed a lead foot during COVID like you wouldn't believe. There's no one on the road.
Everybody still does now. That's the biggest thing I've noticed is even now that things are normal, everybody drives so damn fast.
Yeah, I'd look down and I'm like, boy, this is not good. Like this, I got to slow down. How awesome was it pulling up to like a restaurant downtown where normally like, oh God, I got to find parking. You're like right in front of the restaurant. Let's go. It's amazing.
Well, we have a less than ideal situation here as my computer is not working.
Oh,
but... human remains have washed ashore on the Olympic Peninsula up there.
I feel like that happens from time to time.
Well, this is from, unfortunately, this is from that seaplane crash that they had up there.
Yeah,
remember that?
Yeah, it's no good. Yeah.
No, it's not good.
No. I don't want to find a body. Like, if Law and Order has taught me anything, you know, don't go like midday around parking garages in New York City. You're bound to find a body. But, I would say that's... Like that, like you're just like walking along the beach, and you're having a good time with Mrs. You know, maybe you're flying a kite or whatever, and you're like,
right.
Hey, what's that? And body.
Have we talked about my feelings on kites?
I think you've made your kite.
We talked about that?
I think on the show? I think you've mentioned your anti-kite stance.
God, I just think that is the dumbest activity on earth.
But have you ever flown one?
So dumb.
They can be delightful.
No, they can't.
They really can.
No, they really can't. And I have flown one when I was a kid and dumb.
I have flown kites with my children.
Horrible
and when
activity.
You're on the beach,
it's just dumb.
Look, it's not the best thing in the world.
You could
but...
not be any more bored if you are flying a kite.
You ever been to church? Which would you rather do?
Fly? I would rather go to church. Maybe I'll learn something.
Really?
Yeah. Maybe I'll get something out of it. I don't know.
Boy, now
they're offering you something, right?
Now that the kite is offering you serenity,
dude. That is
You're out
serenity.
On the beach. There's a nice breeze blowing.
That's boring.
You're watching it go in the wind.
Most overrated activity of all time. Although I shouldn't say that because it's not overrated. Nobody does it. Like nobody flies a kite. It's just lame.
I beg to differ. Go to the beach. You see kites.
They're bored.
It's almost a uniquely beach activity.
Yeah. Two Oregon restaurants have made the New York Times Top 50 in America list. Oh. Yeah.
What do we got?
Well, I tell you, is it...
You all right?
Well,
still jammed up with the kite thing.
The difficult to pronounce restaurant names, I feel like that's just an epidemic now.
Well, I feel like it's... You're no one if you have... Like, no one just goes to Jake's anymore. You have to have something that's... And, like, the sign is hard to find and...
Who's that celebrity chef that was on... He was on Top Chef... Portland guy. He's got his new restaurant. He was at Departure for years. He has a new restaurant called Con or Can, K-A-N-N.
Okay.
And
sure.
It is in the New York Times annual America's Best Restaurants Top 50.
Okay. So is this a place that I'm not going to be able to get into? And even if I do, I can't afford anything?
I don't think you'll be able to get into. I mean, it depends on what time.
Yeah.
But yes, it's very popular. Yeah. Because you know Portland's food scene.
Sure.
It's Haitian restaurant that he opened.
Can't say I've ever eaten at a Haitian place, but I'd like to give it a whirl.
And
but
I guess everybody's raving about it. So
Can I ask this too?
No.
Real quick about restaurants in Portland.
Okay, fine.
When did the $20 cocktail become standard? Like, what happened?
Yeah, Vegas.
Did I just blink?
I think Vegas happened.
Right? Like, what? Am I wrong that cocktails used to be like 10, 11 bucks?
Well, they just crank them up because, you know... there's just so much care that goes into making them.
They don't. I make the most simple cocktails in the world, and they always come out now like in a lantern.
Oh,
or,
yeah, the craft cocktail
what
thing.
What is happening?
It has ramped to 11.
Yeah, what?
Craft cocktails has ramped to 11.
$20?
And I tell you what, there's a lot of really good craft. Like, you are no restaurant if you do not have your own craft cocktail menu. It's just, you can't.
Yes.
Like, old fashioned. I don't want a regular old fashioned. What am I at? Red Robin?
Everyone has an old fashioned, and I do love trying everyone's.
I want
everyone's,
your
yes.
old fashioned. I want your twist on an old
Me
fashioned.
Too, but you know what I don't want? I don't want it to be $20.
This is life.
Man. It seemed like this and the hooded sweatshirt. I woke up one day and the hooded sweatshirt was $75. And I went, what? What happened? Joggers are 100, hooded sweatshirts are 75, and cocktails are 20. I'm officially 1,000 years old because I don't remember what I in my mind, I'm like, this should not be. It's a point of contention with me now when I go out. And yeah, what do? I still order the old fashioned.
So apparently, can or con, however it's pronounced, according to the New York Times, leans into the lapel-grabbing power of dynamically spiced live fire cooking. There you go.
Okay. Right. So they got a bonfire over there.
I love that Haiti is one of the poorest countries in the world, yet to eat there costs $1 million.
It's a valid point. But look at their cocktail menu. I bet it starts at $20.
The Times also recognized another Oregon restaurant, this one in Ashland, downtown Ashland, a place called, again, I screw this up, Maz?
Oh, yeah.
Have you been there?
No, but my special lady friend, one of her besties is down there, and they will not shut up about that.
Yeah,
place.
I mean, they're saying one of the top 50 restaurants in the country.
Yeah, they love that.
So Maz is spelled M-A-S, but the A has the two dots on over it?
Yeah.
Which I don't even know what that... I don't even know what that means.
I think that's the umlauts. I don't know. It's like Maestro Brow or Motley Crue.
What is it? Does it change the pronunciation?
It changes, something like
can
that.
Can we just get names like Bob's Chicken?
No. No, you're not.
So it started as a basement pop-up in 2018 before moving into a permanent space the same year. Downtown Ashland, just steps from the Oregon Shakespeare Festival.
Yeah, they...
It's Cascadian Cuisine. And it says, as a series of Japanese-influenced picturesque miniatures of memorable poise. My God. Could they be any more pretentious about this stuff?
No. And my lady loves it.
$40 cheeseburger?
Probably.
Salty plum-cured rockfish with fermented blueberries and compressed pluots.
Oh, of course. Yeah, why not? No. All I know is that if you're a foodie, apparently it's fantastic.
Yeah, well... New York Times, don't lie, bro.
No.
So we have two of the top 50 restaurants in the United States.
Go us.
One in Portland, one in Ashland.
By the way, the con, they've got no prices on the menu, just so you know.
That's right.
Oh, my favorite kind of restaurant.
That's right. It shouldn't matter to you.
No, it should not.
It's like applying for jobs. You're looking for a job? How much you pay here? Yeah, we're not going to tell you.
It just says red.
Don't you hate that, too, when you're looking?
It should be illegal.
Let's say you're walking your dog or something, and you see a house on the market, and you grab a flyer.
Yeah,
or you look
no
at the,
price.
They never put the price
Call
on
Call for
there.
Price.
Yeah.
No.
No, just put it on there.
Tell me what it is. It says right here, from the hearth at this con place, red cabbage. Yeah, just red cabbage.
Let's go.
With smoked herring and pepper sauce. How much is it?
$75.
I don't know.
Market price.
Yeah, market price. All right, in what scenario would this not be a thing? Citizens are voicing concerns over a homeless village. We'll get to that next on The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, wrapping up in the news, we got the Hot Five. We'll have our Drop in the Bank picks coming up at 5:30.
By the way, I found a menu. Someone to take a photo of the con or can, whatever it's called.
I'm going to go with con.
Let's go with con. Con!
I mean, I don't know, but that's what I'm going with.
Yeah, so someone just snapped the photo of the menu itself, and that red cabbage will run you $16, but that smoked beef rib... That's going to be $92.
Wow.
That's a lot.
Smoked.
Smoked. You know what? Can I have the non-smoked ribs at 43?
In no way, shape, or form am I ever spending $92 on ribs.
It's like when they bring me the old-fashioned and it's smoking in the lantern and it's $35. I'm like, can I just get it without the smoke? And I'll give you like 15. Like, what? Is there ribs that were near the smoker that were just adjacent to it? But it's got five stars.
I'll tell you what.
Every review says that the place is epic.
Everybody's raving about that.
It's just...
And that guy has a rep.
Yeah.
He was the guy on Top Chef.
Yeah.
And was at Departure for years, and he's like the hot cheese.
They'll get you 65 for the duck. So...
You know, that guy's throwing it around.
Too. Oh, he's living...
Those chefs,
he's
man.
Living... They're the new rock stars, especially in Portland.
They are.
He's got like a whisk neck tattoo. The new bad boy of food.
Do you think he does the little thing? What's the little sprinkle, yeah, off,
little
of
sprinkle
the, off.
Off
the forearm? God.
Aha!
All right. Where was I? Where were we?
What do we got?
Who are you? Have you heard of the Gresham Lumberjack?
The Gresham? Is that like Timber Joey? I don't know. No,
Timber Joey is a good man.
I don't. Oh, this guy's bad?
Bad man.
I don't know many lumberjacks.
There are a lot of things, and this seems to be this seems to have ramped up since the pandy.
Mm-hmm.
But there are a lot of things that people are doing that it seems that they're bad things that inconvenience others, but really provide no sort of I would think no sort of satisfaction for them.
Yeah, like the dude that threw a giant boulder through my fence. Like, why did you...
Right. Did you see the story of the guy who... And they filmed it because they had a dash cam. This car was driving down the road, and some guy is just riding up on a bike and throws a rock through her windshield.
Yeah.
Why?
I don't
like,
know.
What do you get out of that?
Couldn't tell you. But yeah.
So it's things like that.
Yeah, I believe it. I was... When I saw my fence, I just sat there and thought to myself, in the middle of the day, why did you walk by? One, where did you get the big rock? Did you have the big rock? Did you find it somewhere? And why throw it through my fence? Like, what was that?
So here's another one of those. The city of Gresham is looking for the Gresham Lumberjack, and he has been cutting down trees along the Springwater Corridor Trail since August of last year.
Hey, he's a criminal with a nickname. This is like a Batman sort of thing. He's like the Riddler.
Well, he has cut down over 750 trees.
Holy crap.
Like, what are you doing?
How have they not caught him?
Yeah, I know, right?
You would think that that's a fairly...
Well, they do have a person of interest. They installed cameras along the trail and put up signs with the number to call if you see anybody.
Sure.
But you're right. It's like, how on earth...
He's cut down 750 trees and we haven't been able to, like nab the guy?
No, they have not.
Really?
They have a task force, even.
How is that? I am stunned that you can do anything 750 times and not get caught.
But what is that guy doing? Like, why do that?
I don't know. That's such an odd...
Is that satisfying to him? Does he sit down
Does
at the end of the
trees?
Night? And just... Well, he probably hates the, you know, hippies, right? Like, oh, I'll show those...
So cutting down trees
libs.
And that's...
You know? I mean, I don't know. I'm just spitballing. I'm just saying, like, I don't know what goes through people's minds when they do things
again,
like this.
Again, speaking of the Batman thing, maybe there's just one of those dudes that wants to watch the world burn. Maybe he gets enjoyment because it pisses people off. Right,
or he likes to read about himself in the news.
I guess
hear himself on in the news on the fan.
Yeah, I'm looking here, like, and I'm looking at his handiwork, and yeah, it appears that he just.
I mean, that's annoying.
He just goes through and saws down trees. Yeah, that is. That is one of those. Like, I'm not saying that like when someone steals something that like that pisses me off too, but at least you're like, okay, it makes sense, right? You wanted that. Someone else had it. You didn't want to work for it. You took it. There's a rational reason
behind
it. Or like
the catalytic converter stuff.
Yeah, right.
Like money.
Money. But there's no money in this. It doesn't really hurt any one individual. It's just a public nuisance. It's just you being a boil on the ass of society. And the crappy part is that even if they do catch this turd, he's going to pay like a small fine. He won't do any jail time. And he'll be back out doing it again.
I know.
Like, who was the dude that was like... Remember he was like licking girls and like sniffing hair on the Max train? He'd been arrested like 200 times for basically just being creepy.
Keeps going back out there.
Just keeps going back out.
There's your In the News for September 22nd, 2022. The Hot 5 at 5 is coming up next. We have an unprecedented situation out of the NBA. And bad news for the Mariners today. Oh, and a development in the Brett Favre steals from the poor situation.
Suddenly a lot to get to.
We'll get to all of that coming up next in the Hot 5 at 5.
Hey, sports fans, this is Ultimate Vegas Insider John Anthony, and I'm on fire. To prove it, I'm really...
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours.
And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.